following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
It came from the radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio from the long lost, wherever parts unknown, is Herman Sinertia sitting across from me. Say hi, Herman.
Hey, I'm back. Is everybody happy now?
And I have Dr. Tom Ross on the other line.
Right here.
Thank God for Tom.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on our live audio streaming. Also on the GU website, you can see us on our webcam. So you can go onto the website, press the view webcam. It has the password information right there. You can actually see us in 10-second intervals on the webcam that's on right now.
And we have Hassan on the phone, and that's how he's going to be joining us tonight.
Say hi, Hassan.
Hello.
Hi, Hassan.
Hey, Hassan, what's going on? Why are you laughing?
Hassan is in a shock, actually. So it's actually funny. The one time that Hassan doesn't show up, Herman shows up.
I asked for him.
I think there's some type of conspiracy going on.
Have you ever seen the two of them in the same place at the same time?
Turning to the far side of the sun.
There you go, doppelganger.
So where did you find him?
Actually, he was out back in a corner somewhere. Behind
really?
The can. Yeah.
Yeah, you can get lost out there very easily.
There's ghosts
out there.
Downside
about that.
He was dancing with the penguins.
Just penguins?
Yeah, it's that cold. It's
what is that? What, I don't get it. Okay.
So, also the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. And I will just take it away with the news. Let's see. All right. For fans of Smallville, seems that Michael Rosenblum will be returning for the final series finale of Smallville, which will be May 13th, reprising his role as young Luther. And also they are going to have Connor Kent, which is Superboy, for those of you who don't know, is going to be appearing on the show for its final season.
That's great. Let's milk it. Okay.
What? The show's on 9 years right now?
Yeah, I'm waiting for him in a Superman costume. You know, he's always got a red T-shirt on, a blue T-shirt on. Come on.
Well, that's what they say. They're going to wait until the final
episode. It's milking it.
Well, that's the whole point is this is before he becomes Superman. So.
Okay.
So now I'm trying to figure out how they're going to have a Superboy in the same show if he's supposed to be Superboy.
What about Krypto?
The dog was there, if I'm not mistaken. Okay.
Krypto.
The dog, yeah, Krypto the dog.
I thought this was their 10th season.
This is the 10th season?
I thought so.
Wow, they went 2 years too far. I remember they said they were going to go for 8 because, you know, it's high school and then college. But wow, if it's 10, that's amazing.
I thought so. I don't know for certain.
He's become Superboy, then Superman. That's how they're going to do it.
In one episode?
I don't know. I didn't call a guy up yet.
You didn't call the guy up. You got to call the guy. All right. Also, speaking of television.
This is their 10th season. Since Smallville season 10 will be their last.
Oh, there you go. Thank you very much.
No, I believe they're in their 10th season right now.
They said that last year, Hassan.
Well, this time they're really serious about it.
Yeah. Well, they said, yeah, but I think last year they were in their 9th season, announcing this new season would be their 10th and their last.
So, yes, they said the same thing every time.
Yeah, that's right.
Except, you know, they're 1 year younger.
Okay.
Speaking of television, Charlie's not here to miss a segue.
Speaking of television.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hassan.
Deadline Hollywood reports Friday Night Lights actress Adrienne Palicki, P-A-L-I-C-K-I, has been tapped for the new role of Wonder Woman. And the TV show that's going to be produced by David Kelly for Warner Brothers.
That's pretty good.
I've seen one picture of her. I would say she's just another black-haired actress
brunette.
As well.
Brunette.
Okay, we have Charlie on the phone, too.
Wow, Charlie. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, how's everybody?
Charlie, where are you?
I'm between here and there.
Are you coming into the studio, or are you going to be in your car?
I'll be there. I'll be talking from the car, so I will be there as soon as I can.
So he's driving around orbiting the station right now.
All right.
Yes. Anyway.
So, I've seen the picture of the brunette-haired actress, and I don't really can say either way if she's a good Wonder Woman or not. And it's by David E. Kelly, so how good is that actually going to be?
Oh,
man. You hear that, son?
That's not nice.
He's getting like me now.
It's probably true, but it's not nice.
Let me see. It says that she's going to be a vigilante crime fighter from a successful corporate and executive Wonder Woman trying to have it all. That's what the Wonder Woman is being described.
Are they going
to
have the theme song?
I don't know. That'd be awesome if they had the theme song, but they probably won't have the theme song.
Right.
Although I have to say, in Smallville, they did use certain musical cues from the Superman franchise. It'd be interesting to see.
Okay, great.
And
Captain America, he looks good, that costume, all ripped up. And you saw the poster?
Yeah,
the movie poster? It's great.
It's amazing how he went from musical cues to.
That's the way it's going to be tonight.
Okay, moving along.
Please do.
Yes, we have sad news. Sad news. Very, very sad news. Noted comic and animation writer Dwayne McDuffie died Monday evening from complications due to a surgical procedure. Dwayne McDuffie has been a great, great comic book writer. I've interviewed him. He was a great man. He was also co-founder of Milestone Comics, which was, I guess, can be said as the quote-unquote black titles of a DC universe. They had a black.
They wouldn't have called it that.
Yes, that's true. And it was always interesting how race was always brought up in his work, but it was never intended that way.
Right.
In an interview, I remember he was mentioning and saying how when he took over the Justice League, it just so happened that. It was announced to him when he took over that they were going to have three more black characters incorporated into the show. But when he joined, they were like, oh, now he's bringing all the black characters into the book. But he had no intention of it. Right. It was just writing a good story.
Naturally fell that way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, he was only 49.
Wow.
So it's a great loss to the comic industry. It really got me because it's so weird how I've interviewed somebody and now he's no longer with us. It's one of the weird things.
It's bad.
Hassan, you have any...
Well, I knew him when I interned at Marvel in my junior year of high school. And I was sitting on Facebook a couple of times that he was extremely decent to pretty much all the interns. Didn't he just treat us like the pack mules that we were? Running around and doing things for the editors.
Gophers.
So he was one of the few. Yeah, he was one of the few establishment figures there who was a really decent person. He was very encouraging. You know, a very good man in general. You just got a very good vibe and a very good feeling from him. So I saw this online on Monday, Monday night, Monday morning, or Tuesday morning, excuse me. And I don't really know how to deal with it, so I haven't really been talking about it too much. But it's pretty devastating.
That's why life was too short.
And the fact that he was only 49, that really, that hits it home. Yeah. Like, man, he has so much more to do. So anybody out there who's interested in seeing his most recent work, there's an All-Star Superman DVD that's being released, I believe it's this week, if I'm not mistaken.
I've seen that.
That was he wrote.
I want to get that.
It was very.
It looks great.
Yes. So he will be missed. And we have more sad news. That's just handed to me.
Wait.
Well, you're like a damp bearer.
A damp bearer of bad news.
Yeah, yeah.
A damp bearer of bad news.
Damp, I was going to say damp or bearer.
Let's see. Mr. Nicholas Courtney played Brigadier General Alistair Lethbridge Stewart.
I believe that's the way you pronounce it, yes.
of the unit, United Nations Intelligence Task Force, on Doctor Who in 107 episodes. He was also on the Doctor Who spinoff, the Sarah Jane Avengers, and he was on Avengers and Callan.
Callan. Some of those are British series that I don't recognize either.
The Champions, Escape, The Saint, and The Minder. He was made honorary president of the Doctor Who Appreciation Society in 1997, and he was 81.
Right, and incidentally, it was the Sarah Jane Chronicles.
Oh, Sarah Jane. Oh, you wrote Sarah Jane Adventures.
Oh, sorry.
So sad news all around.
Yeah.
The only good thing about this is we're not doing it last.
Mm. last week we had a bizarre episode and we wound up doing the new movie.
I have a happy idea. I want to share with everybody an idea.
Is it a happy idea or is
it
just a regular
idea? It's pretty cool.
Idea?
I don't care. Anybody can steal my idea. That's the way I am. I don't care. I told Tom this, what he said it was done already, but I'm going to say
it was done while. Tell me
I have a great title. I have a great title. It's called The Ultimate Legacies, right? It's about Superman, Batman, all getting older, and they recruit new young guys to be Superman and Batman. Now,
right, with Batman, I know it's been done. They did a series.
Isn't that a great title?
On TV for called comic Batman book? 2040 Beyond. Or something
Batman
like that.
Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But isn't that a great title for like a comic book or a movie?
What was it? Legacy?
No, Ultimate Legacies.
The Ultimate Legacies.
Mm.
Well, all right. Sure.
Come on, Mark. Yeah, just shoot me down, Mark. I'm waiting.
It's like saying, you know, repetitively.
Nobody ever did this before.
It's like saying repetitively.
I know it's like Watchmen, yeah.
It's like saying repetitively redundant. You know,
why?
Ultimate Legacy.
They never did it.
Why can't it just be called Legacy?
All right. Super Legacies.
Why does it have to have a preface?
Super Legacies.
That's like the giant behemoth.
Yeah, you're right, Charles.
Yeah.
Or a free gift.
Do you like
that's
the idea?
That's the one that makes an English teacher's teeth grind.
Okay, you're right. You like the idea?
Well,
it's out there for everybody. Steal it.
Well, ultimately somebody will steal it. You know, it will be done, you know, as everything is beating a dead horse, like...
It's not beating a dead horse. It's new. It's a great idea, and it's, you know, they got to come out with... X-Men First Class, X-Men First Class. Why they got to come out? It's everybody's got to do like it started with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kids, the early years. It's just started with. When I hear bells, what is that?
That's probably the car.
The door? Oh my God! All right.
Continue your thought.
I'm just saying that they have to always do like prequels when they're kids or teenagers or you know, nobody wants to use their imagination no more.
Well, they
right.
do. Well, you have a story. You have a comic book story. You can
so I'm going
so
ahead. I'm seeing the guys are getting older, and they
What about the next generation of Star Trek? That's what they do. They go.
I know, but I'm going ahead with my idea of the story. The superheroes are getting old. They're retiring, and they have new guys. They got to recruit like a police force.
Well, isn't that what superheroes are to begin with? The police force.
Well, you know what I mean. But it would be a great movie.
All right, so
actually, most superheroes would qualify as vigilantes, which is something very different.
Well, based on his thing would be Superman, Batman, that's like the Justice League, and they're kind of the
no, but
the
all
police,
every other
police,
superhero too.
Police, I would say.
But don't forget, Superman is the best superhero because he's not from this planet.
Yeah, and keep in mind, there's a very critical difference between a police force and just a vigilante force, and that is a police force has an official government sponsor. Like it's the New York City Police or the Los Angeles Police or the French Sûreté or the Scotland Yard of London. They have to be representing a governmental entity of some sort. Otherwise, they're from the point of view of real police, they're loose cannons.
Well, with the Justice League, that they are, I guess, endorsed by the government. United States government. So I guess
in that case, that would give them
a world government. A world government. They protect the world.
No, well, they usually work under the orders of the president. You know, they can go into different countries, and then they have to follow the American laws.
Superman protects the world.
Yes, Superman does protect the world. But that doesn't. But going back to your point, you said he's the best superhero because
he's not from this planet. He's not of this earth.
But why does that make him the best superhero?
Because he's different. He's that.
But a lot of superheroes are different.
No, he's
there's also other
planet.
Superheroes that aren't from this world. Like, for example, Joan Jerez, the Martian Manhunter.
Martian Manhunter, Silver Surfer.
From a different dimension.
No, different world. Martian Manhunter is from Martian.
Oh, okay.
Mars.
I've ever heard.
And the Silver Surfer is from another part of the galaxy, but definitely our realm of reality.
Yeah.
He was working for Galactus, who was basically portrayed as being a Cthulian elder god.
Right, but
for those of you who don't know, it's
the only one that's going to be standing is Superman.
How do you figure that?
Because he will stand the test of time.
All right, so are we talking as in the character, or are we talking as the Superman himself?
The character.
So that throughout the years, all that will be will be Superman. And what do you base that on?
Because he's the first. Him and Wonder Woman were the superheroes.
He wasn't the first superhero.
Well, okay.
Superman was not the first superhero.
Yes, he was.
I think he might have been. I think he might be wrong about that. I really do. Well, no. No, not Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman came. No, she was not. I couldn't tell you exactly who was the second, but it wasn't Wonder Woman, because Wonder Woman was later deliberately come up with by essentially not one creator, but sort of a corporate board of them, because they wanted a female superhero.
For the troops. For the army troops. Because it had
Not really.
Look sexy. Yes,
I think number two, though he wasn't really a superhero, he was a costume hero, was Batman.
And you can say that again, number two.
And I think it went on from there. And then, for all I know, maybe Captain Marvel was number three.
Oh, okay.
I know that.
Flash Gordon? He falls into superheroes?
No.
No? Okay.
No. Keep in mind, Flash Gordon was supposed to simply be an ordinary athlete thrown into unusual circumstance.
He played for the New York Jets.
But he saved
originally
planet Earth.
Well, originally, no, he did not play for the New York Jets. But in the original, I forget whether it was a comic or radio serial, in the original, he was a championship polo player.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, well, back in those days, polo players were every bit as famous and looked up to as NASCAR drivers are these days.
All right.
Well, whatever that is.
Well, they're some... All right,
that's it. Yeah, that's my statement.
Okay,
for the superheroes.
Actually, I think Flash Gordon started out as a newspaper.
That
comic,
Superman will be forever. The character.
The character Superman will be forever.
Yeah.
And why is that?
All these other superheroes, Batman will be second.
We didn't get to the why is that?
Because all these what's going on in the movie industry and the comic book industry. Well, I'm mostly into the movie industry.
Right.
Is these superhero movies are coming out too fast, and they're force-fed to the audience right now, all right? And people are going to start getting a little tired of it. You understand what I'm saying? They're getting force-fed. I mean, Thor's coming out. They got the Green Lantern coming out, like, back-to-back.
That's two opposing companies, though.
Yeah, I know, but years ago when superhero movies came out, it was one at a time every 4 years or 3 years.
You only have one company making them.
But that's what I'm saying. It's force fed. When somebody gets something too much, they get sick of it. And they shun away most of the public.
But isn't the American way is to beat a dead horse? So if you're going to have one successful horror movie,
and then
have
getting back to other movies, all these other movies now that it's coming out, it's starting to look like Inception. You know, like Adjustment Bureau and this other thing with. Jingle Hall was his name, that new picture that's coming out.
Jingle Hall?
What's his last name? The guy in Brokeback Mountain. What's that guy's name?
Sinbad?
Jake.
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Sinbad, yeah. he plays Sinbad, right. You know? His movie's starting to look like Inception. And there's other picture that's coming, that's out now. I think Unknown or... You know, it's going to have all that. It's like they're biters. They're biting off, you know. And Inception was, like, overrated. It was. You know, I mean, looking at that film, again, it's overrated. And they make it a big deal when it's coming out on DVD. You gotta get this DVD. Run out and get it now. Don't buy milk and bread. Get the Inception.
That's what they say about all DVDs.
This picture wasn't that good. People upside down. Everybody's in suits. And, you know.
That's what they say about all
DVDs. But every movie's got to look like Inception now.
All right,
yeah, incidentally, if you want to see a really funny little takeoff,
you know I'm right,
on a little funny takeoff on the Inception trailer, go to YouTube and look up Chipception, where somebody took the soundtrack of the Inception of the Inception trailer and put it to scenes from Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers.
Oh, that's great.
And believe it or not, in some crazy way it looks, and it's just funny as heck.
Okay, so
looks like Charlie's off the line.
That means he's close by. So let's go back for a second.
Go ahead.
You still didn't answer the question.
What, Mark?
Why do you think Superman is going to stand the test of time?
Because he was the first superhero, and always the original of anything stands the test of time. Star Wars will stand the test of time. The original Star Wars, 1977, will stand the test of time.
Okay, so
that's my editorial, and you're biting into my editorial. I'm bringing this up.
Well, the problem is you're not explaining why it's going to stand the test of time.
I just explained it why. I don't know what you guys want. I said whatever's the first thing, whatever the first thing that comes out of a superhero genre over there will stand the test. It's just that in that nature.
Well,
the first is the best.
Superhero genre.
What?
What?
Star Wars isn't a superhero genre.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying it was the first of this franchise, you know.
Well, so the original Battlestar Galactica didn't seem to stand the test of time.
That was the 80s.
Everyone is testifying.
That was the 80s.
You know, but I'm saying that when a guy comes up with an idea,
Superman
listen.
Come out?
Well, no.
Wait, when did Superman come out? Superman came out prior to the 80s, didn't it?
Yeah. No, Superman came out. I'm talking about comic books first. I'm talking about the concept first.
Yeah, that was back in the 30s.
I'm talking about the concept, Hassan.
And
so what does a year have to do with it? I'm confused.
Because it's the first. It's just like Graham Bell invented the phone. Now, everybody says inventions. The phone, first guy who invented the phone was, what's his name? Abraham? What was his first name?
Alexander Graham Bell.
Right. Now, everybody embellishes and the idea of that phone, and now cell phones came from that idea. But you always need the root, you know, to start it off. That's what I'm saying. Superman was the root of all the other superheroes. Spider-Man's a poor man's Superman story. That's all it is. He just lives in the neighborhood. He's a reporter. He has a camera. It's just that Stan Lee bit the idea off instead of. As Spider-Man is a poor man Superman story.
Yeah, but
every superhero story is a Superman story.
Yeah, he's the iconic figure. Right.
Right.
He paved the way for superpowered heroes.
Right.
Just like Batman paved the way for costume, non-superpowered
superhero movies
heroes.
Are all the same. The girl's in stress. The villain, it's just like the girl on the train tracks, tied up with the villain. And he's got to save it. Spider-Man, three movies, is the same ending.
Well,
I just needed you to explain it because you didn't elaborate.
I did explain
why
it.
You thought. Well, yeah, but you didn't really elaborate on the explanation. You just gave an explanation that he was first, and therefore he will last forever. And you need to give that a little more, you know. You need
because
to
he paved the way. And that's why he
explained it now. After some pulling teeth, we got you to explain it this time. But
yeah.
I'm saying
right.
The reason
well,
I pushed
you didn't
before,
pull teeth. You didn't,
yeah,
bail,
well,
you didn't
is,
pull teeth. You didn't bail hay.
Is he became the template for all the heroes. I mean, in many ways, Herman's right. All the superheroes that came after him were basically Superman with a twist of one sort or another. You know, Wonder Woman was a woman. Spider-Man had more psychoses than an entire psychiatric practice.
Right.
I mean, that was Stan Lee's.
I think it was
Stan Lee's
Batman.
Big
I think it was Batman more that had a lot of psychiatric problems.
Well, no, Batman, again, was the template for costume heroes, and all the others were...
Superman had a costume.
I said Batman.
But Superman had a costume.
No. You're not reading me. Superman had superpowers. A costume hero has no superpowers.
Right, okay.
He's just basically an athlete with maybe gadgets. All the other costume heroes, like, for example, the Green Hornet, who came after Batman, were basically Batman, except for their own personal twists, like the Green Hornet pretending he was really a bad guy.
Iron Man had gadgets, had a costume. And
right.
the Hulk is a glorified Frankenstein.
Right, or a golem.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, Jekyll and Hyde.
But he looked like Frankenstein when he changed into the Hulk. He had a square head and he was green.
He looked like Herman.
Originally he was gray, actually.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how he
that was Stan Lee's concept of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Well, the actual reason how he became green was because they decided to start making the comics in color, and he just, I believe he arbitrarily just picked the green color because that was a color they really hadn't been using in the comics at the time.
Yeah. Well, I know that the reason why in newspaper comics the Phantom wore purple was simply because originally he was supposed to be gray, and that wasn't standing out well enough, and just some printer decided the heck with this and did it on his own.
Tom, we get a couple like years ago when Mark was working at the theater where I'm working at now, we used to watch Green Acres, right? We used to watch the movies ahead of time, like when the superhero movies are coming.
Uh-huh.
And I would pass this concept. Mark used to laugh, and he's sitting right across from me. I said, it's the same story, different leotards.
Well, someone once wrote there's only about, what is it, 8 or 9 basic storylines, right, in the whole universe, and
look at the Terminator. We'll get to the Terminator. It's the same ending.
I'm sorry?
The Terminator is the same ending. It's always at the warehouse. The Terminator. Mm.
There was no warehouse in the last.
You know, like, whatever, Cyberdon, whatever, where they fought. It's always there, that catwalk.
Sure. You know.
And the villagers with the burning torches and pitchforks always show up, right?
Except for three.
All right,
in the Frankenstein movies, yeah.
We're actually at a halfway point, so we'll be right back with Camp and Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Staff at command, requesting your position. It's that
that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with KM from the Radio. This is the host, Mark Torres, speaking, along with Hermes Nurcha in the studio, Hassan Godwin on the phone, and Dr. Tom Ross behind the booth.
Yes, and that was, in case you're wondering, I Fell in Love with the Starship Trooper by Sarah Brightman and Hot Gossip. They're British. They were on a show back in the 70s that was not right after the original Saturday Night Live, but the show after the show that was on right after Saturday Night Live. Really late night.
It was very catchy.
Very nice.
They don't make them like that anymore, for which we can maybe say thank goodness. But
So this week, actually it has to do with a little bit of news I wanted to be talking about. It just so happens that I'm a huge Power Ranger fan, as everybody knows, and the new Power Ranger season, 19th season, has just came out by Saban, the original company that made Power Rangers. And the news is that it has been sporting ratings, the best ratings it's ever had since it went on to cable, which was a few years ago. However, it's doing one of the worst ratings compared to other shows on Nicktoons. And then I go online and I see, you know, everybody's talking about the show and how well it is or compared to other seasons. And what I want to talk about this week is on TV, what makes a successful show? I mean, do we look at the show season per season? Do we look at the show as a whole? Do we look at the show as just a beginning, middle, and end? Because it's very different looking at a TV series than it is looking at a movie or even a novel. Because the job of the TV writer is to make you to keep on coming back every week. But that goes against the nature of having a beginning, middle, and ending to a story.
Well, that's why the 1960 TV shows would grab the people. TV was new, too, in the living rooms, you know, like, not new, but everybody was starting to get more TVs.
Right.
So anything that was on TV would capture the attention of everybody. You know, they would have, like, I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched, and the Monsters. But getting to the Power Rangers, the Power Rangers is a... It's a spawn from Ultraman. You know that.
Yeah.
You remember Ultraman,
yes.
Right?
Well, okay. It's by the toy company, but I'm not talking about Power Rangers specifically. I'm talking about TV in general, just as TV.
Well, you gotta. It's like a song. You gotta have a good hook.
Okay, but
you know,
a bad ending to a successful TV show can really ruin the whole series. So, do we look at?
What do you mean, bad ending of each episode, or
no,
bad ending
of the entire series?
Okay.
For example, we'll go with Lost. A lot of people love the show Lost, but
Sopranos
they hated
too.
The ending.
Yeah.
Sopranos. They really hated the ending, and they said that it actually ruined the whole series. So do you think that's a valid argument? What do you think about
that? Yeah, it's a valid argument.
What about you, Hassan? What are your thoughts on television as a successful show goes?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
So do you think that... I remember a discussion we had many years ago between you and I about X-Files and how everybody was clamoring on how wonderful X-Files was, and you were always complaining that they never actually went anywhere. There was too many side stories or non-important stories to the actual arc of the show.
That's right.
Yeah, there were never any real revelations. But the problem is, if you reveal too much, you could inadvertently destroy the show by giving away too much. Very delicate balance, and it really depends on what your audience is watching for, and that's a very difficult formula to figure out.
Yes,
I was reading an article. There was a TV show, there was a Canadian kids show that I used to watch when I was a kid called The Odyssey, and it was about a kid who fell out of a tree and hit his head, and he imagined he was in a world that was populated completely by children with no adults. And the whole first season was about him. In the real world, his mother sitting over his bed in the hospital while he was, you know, trying to recuperate while he was in this coma. And while he was under, the world that he was living in as a child, with all his friends playing different significant roles in that world. While he was, I think he was trying to find his father in that world. It was very, very esoteric, very strange show, but it was very good, very consistent. The third season ended with there was like a barrier between the kids' world and the real world, and they blew the barrier up. One of the main villains in the kids' world blew the barrier up because he was losing power, and the wall fell down, and they could look through the hole and they could see other adults, you know, for the first time. They could see the other world, and the show ended, and it basically got canceled after that. And in an interview, one of the main producers and writers says, well, we learned one significant thing from doing that show. Never end
never have your season end on a cliffhanger that essentially cripples or destroys the concept of the show in and of itself.
The whole show.
Because the network might decide that's a great place to end it and then cancel you. So, even though the show was doing well, they tried in an attempt to keep the show going on and on. They attempted to change the premise of the show, or alter the premise, or up the ante of the premise. And, you know, since the networks are always looking for ways to cut spending and up their revenue, they had decided that this is a great place to end the show.
But why do you think Star Trek was such a success? You know,
I mean, the original one.
Yeah, yes, it was a success.
It got canceled twice.
Yeah, but in syndication became famous. You know, became people started to have a cult following to it.
You can't call it a successful show if it gets canceled. It became a cult following later, but it wasn't a success.
But they did a lot of episodes before they got canceled.
Only 3 seasons.
That's not a lot.
Yeah.
And Lost in Space was a success because they always grab the people's attention, you know. It might be hokey, but, you know.
Yeah, well, it was deliberately being done for a camp. Everybody knew that.
Well, that's what made people enjoy TV. Like I said to everybody, you're supposed to go see a movie to have fun with, not to make it part of your life or serious. That's what's problem with the barrier between fans and people just want to just hang out and you know, and enjoy a movie or enjoy a TV show. You don't make it part of your life, you know.
Actually, the word fanatical.
Yeah, fan.
They do.
Yes, Charlie.
They do make it part of their lives. And I mean, no matter what you say, like in the real world, yeah, it's there for entertainment. But people do make it part of their lives, Herman. I mean, you're right. You're
supposed to have fun with the entertainment.
Here we go. You're absolutely right. But you do have the people who cannot rationalize the way you are and just having fun with it. And they go out there. They're out there. And those are the folks. And a lot of the shows, thank God they're there. Because, you know, like Star Trek, who kept it alive in a cult following, those are the people.
But not even to go that far, you know, very popular shows, successful shows go into pop culture. So you really can't say that you shouldn't really get into it, you know, and to follow it.
I didn't say
you
have to get into it.
As a fan, you said just to occasionally watch it, don't really go crazy.
Years ago, millions of years ago, cavemen drew pictures on a wall for entertainment.
That must have been some bad entertainment.
They didn't have TV then, you know.
What kind of line is he drawing now?
You know what I'm... Mark, you know what I mean.
Truthfully, it was probably less entertainment and more sympathetic magic.
Well,
yes, yeah,
but that's what film is, magic. You know. It's still a series of pictures.
They drew a picture of an antelope in the hopes that the next day they'd kill one.
They'd eat one, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do my editorial.
They killed one and was happy about it and made a story. Drew a picture.
That's right, too, yeah.
Yeah.
But
here's Og's fantastic spear throw.
But to have a successful show, doesn't that mean that they shouldn't try to up the ante if they want to try to keep whatever's going on?
Yeah, but sometimes they get too, you know, involved with writing and too many cooks spoil the soup, you know.
Also, sometimes it just can't.
Too many cliches ruin an editorial.
And sometimes it just can't maintain the tension. Like the perfect example of that was the old Moonlighting series, which was built on sexual tension. Would Maddie and actually get it on?
David.
And it went for several seasons. You know, just pushing a little more, but never having them do it. Then when they did it, the show jumped the shark because there wasn't anything really more to say, because that's basically what the whole show had been about, and it rapidly deteriorated, went downhill as writers floundered around trying to find something else to base the show around.
Well, here's where the problem comes in. Remember Michael Jackson, when he came out the album Off the Wall?
Michael Jackson.
Listen, this is a concept. Listen to how TV shows work, too. It works with, like, music. And they have a hit song, now they got to top that hit song, the same artist. Now, people write TV shows, they write a great episode, they got to top the next week that episode, and it starts to get haywire. That's why Michael Jackson couldn't top Thriller. He tried so hard, the album Thriller, you know.
Right.
It's like they've been competing with themselves.
Or sometimes okay. I just run
you understand
out
what I'm saying?
I got you.
The writers, too.
I mean, that's
like overkill, you know.
That's one way a show can die. Another way would be if the writers and everyone involved have simply milked it for all it's worth and just cannot think of any more really fresh situations to get their characters in. And so they either try to introduce new characters or they just keep making the situation more outre and outre. I usually have a saying that whenever you have the XYZ bunch goes to Hawaii, it usually means that the show has just jumped the shark. Matter of fact, that's where the term comes from.
I like that. Okay.
In Happy Days, they did the 50s, early 60s bit as much as they could, and they just ran out of basic plots. So they took a trip to Florida, and they had Fonzie, complete wearing his leather jacket, jump over a shark.
Yeah. Well, I'm the Richie's brother.
Yeah. Well, you see, what Tom is saying is right, because one of my favorite shows, they changed, and they put new characters in, which I thought was like the cheesiest stuff in the world, Buck Rogers, when they introduced Hawk.
Second season.
Hawk. And like, what are you doing?
You remember when Buck Rogers used to fight, when Gilda Rogers used to fight like a monster, and Hawkman was standing there at rocks. Never helped Buck Rogers. Yeah. He got him, Buck.
But used to kill me was when he used to turn around, and every time he said his name, Hawk. Hawk. And this vintage actor in feathers had to answer him, and I would say, oh my God, just spread the Velveeta on a cracker for me now. And so Tom is absolutely right. Sometimes they jump the shark and you feel like slapping the writers, but you can't do that.
So do you consider the entire series as a whole, as a one entity, or do you consider each episode separately, or how do you think, or is it by
We take certain episodes.
Eventually, you think of, after the series is done for the season, I think of it as a whole. While it's going on, I take each episode, because, like Herman says, they try to top it, but a lot of times they don't. There's a lot of, now I used to watch Star Trek, there's a lot of Star Trek episodes I said, well, this was
Snorfest.
This was not good. This week was not good.
And that goes with the Next Generation, too. That's a Snorfest.
Well, that's my point. I mean, any series, I just took Star Trek, but any series, you could see it one week after another. There is not one series I saw where I could say, they got better and better and better. No, there was one great show, one bad show, and you tend to think of it that way. And then when you see the repeats for the oh yeah, I'm not watching this. This was a bad show.
Just like Twilight Zone. That's why it's such a hit series, Twilight Zone, because they had a
different
ingredient.
Every episode.
Yeah, well, there was a half an hour slot, not an hour.
And thus the ideas of having different directors and having a whole bunch of different writers.
Well, they still have to follow the series bible, is what they call it, when they follow, you know, the outskirts of the rules of where to go.
Oh, yeah, you have to keep the skeleton going.
Right.
Yeah, that's goes without saying. But every episode getting better and better? No, I've never seen that in a series.
Yeah, from 70s on, you know.
Yeah.
That's when everything went downhill after the 70s.
Another thing that could kill a show is if certain key people leave and they try desperately to get around their loss. Like if the person who plays the lead suddenly decides he's not being paid enough or gets a better offer, and then they try to, you know, figure out how the heck to replace him or how to keep it going. Or if someone crucial backstage goes. I mean, the reason why the third season of Star Trek stunk was because Gene Roddenberry left the series because he thought he'd been stabbed in the back by NBC.
Wow.
The reason why, I'm trying to remember the name of it, the science fiction series that starred Ken Sorbo right after Hercules.
Andromeda,
right. The reason why that one jumped a shark after the first season is the guy who dreamed up the whole thing and who had guided the whole first series and whose baby it was, he felt he got backstabbed, and he left the series, and he took all his notes and all his plans for what he was going to do with all the characters and all the situations that he had set up with him. So nobody really knew what he had been planning, and everyone just sort of tried to jump in, and they tried to jump in and do their own thing with it, and it
still went on
quickly spiraled out
years,
of...
It did go on 4 years, that's true, though.
Went on 3 years without him, but Tom is right. The show is crap right after the first season.
Yeah.
I think he left halfway through the second season, and you can almost, you could literally almost clock his last episode, because it started becoming asinine right after that.
After his last episode,
just really started to take a dive.
I remember.
And one of the major characters too. He, like Betty Ebsen in the Tin Woodman. He got a serious allergy to the costume, and he had to leave.
Right.
The paint.
I remember when I met what was his name? The guy who played Tyr. I forget his name. The actor's name. Do you remember that?
Ethan Hamilton Cobb.
Yes, I remember. I went up to him. He was at a convention, and this was in between seasons. So I went up to him and I was like, "Hey, what's going on with the season?" He goes, "I left the show because of such and such a reason and such and such." And I was like, "Oh my God, this is terrible!" And he was saying, and he explained to me how that he was brought on and his character was made. You know, they made the character specifically for him, and that then all of a sudden they decided this wasn't the way they wanted to go with the character. And he's like, "Well, then I'm leaving." And it was like amazing how it was such a great show and he was such a great part of it. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm leaving." And that's exactly what he did. He died on the show, sort of.
Also, that shows don't work.
Sort of.
He came back, so...
Shows that have curses when you have a fugitive concept. You know, like the future, like Planet Apes, the TV series, they were fugitives. They were running. And Hulk didn't really make it good either, you know.
Hulk lasted 4 years.
It was still a future. Any type of fugitive story will die out. They can't. You don't know what to write no more, you know.
Yeah, but Stewie got a great ending for a Family Guy that day.
Well, keep in mind that the actual TV series, The Fugitive.
Oh, that was good.
But they did wrap it up neatly. Because they knew that they couldn't keep him running forever. So they, at the end of the last season, they had an ending episode, which at the time was the most watched episode of all time, though it was quickly surpassed.
Right.
By Dallas, if I'm not saying the Who's Out JR, right?
Yeah, but it's been even more since then, like the last episode of MASH and so forth.
The MASH series finale was the highest rated episode on television until recently, I think.
That's right.
Another thing that can kill a show is if the network suddenly gets cold feet about it and either starts piling demands on the production company or moving it around or canceling it at the drop of... that's what happened to the original Battlestar Galactica. They gave it this huge build-up, and then when it didn't get the audience they originally wanted, the network got the cobbly wobblies, and they kept either not showing it and showing a special, or moving it to a different week till people didn't know where it was, and then they started demanding changes, like they turned. One female who was supposed to be basically a sex therapist into a nurse and so forth. And finally, the last few episodes was unrecognizable from what it began with and had basically turned to go to the weirdo planet of the week.
But Tom, let me ask you a question, getting to TV series. You think Charlie Sheen, what he's doing, is fair to the other workers on that TV show?
Well, no, and if I was them, I'd be very ticked at him.
No, really. He could ruin that whole show.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of things
he should grow up.
Show.
Really.
Which show?
Two and a Half Men.
Okay, thank you.
Charlie Sheen is self-centered, and he... And,
you right there, Charlie?
No, I was just going to say, he's it's an addiction, so he's not worried about what he's doing to the other people. He's just worried about gratifying his addiction.
Yeah, but there's other workers in that show.
Yeah, but Herman, when you have it, this is a psychological thing. When you have an addiction, you're just, it doesn't matter what's around you.
They should give him a blanket party then. Put a blanket over and hit him with bats.
Okay.
I was waiting for the comment.
All right, I'm done.
I'm done.
I think what could also kill a show is when people in general just lose interest in it, like Twin Peaks. Sometimes a show doesn't really have to jump a shark. It could just be that the concept isn't made to last very long. I mean, Twin Peaks didn't really jump the shark. I mean, they kind of messed up. You could say they messed up by not revealing who killed Laura Palmer at the season premiere of the very next season of season two.
Right.
But it was still keeping the same mystery alive, and people just got tired of it. People stopped caring.
The show
doesn't necessarily have to be a problem with the show. It could be just your concept is not a long laster.
Along the same lines, Murder One, which was a concept show where they were going to have one case from the beginning,
right,
started with the murder, and then it was going to go all the way through the trial, and then we're going to find out who the killer was very popular. And the main character, the main lawyer, Daniel Benzai, I think his name was, he was a great actor, and they kept it going for the whole season. But then when it was done, they're like, all right, what do we do next year? And they decided, oh, we're going to change it up and make it many different murder cases during the whole thing, and it just faltered horribly. So sometimes, I guess Hassan is right with, sometimes a concept doesn't go more beyond one year.
Well, 24 did, and that's
that was another thing. They didn't know,
right,
what they were going to do the second season.
Yeah, exactly.
What about Mr. Ed?
Wilbur. The horse talks. That's the whole concept of the show. That's all you need. The horse talks.
And there was never any on-air explanation for why he talked.
Yeah. Genie, that show used to aggravate me. This girl's prancing around with a Genie costume, and he's just like in his own world, this guy. You know?
Well, it was television.
Yeah, I know, but it aggravated me.
Matter of fact, in the premiere episode, it actually shows her in her smoke form slipping under his bedroom door, and then all of a sudden you hear him shouting, "Get out of here!"
Yeah,
and
that aggravated me. Yeah. This show stinks. Yeah.
So Mr. Ed was okay, but Hi-Truman Genie not okay.
No, that's a joke.
Yeah, incidentally, a little bit of trivia about Mr. Ed. That was basically a civilianized version of an earlier movie series called Francis the Talking Mule.
Right.
Who Francis was a mule in the U.S. Army in the European theater of the war. And I guess they wanted to move the concept to a TV, and only they wanted to make it civilian, and since you don't have too many mules in civilian hands, they made it a horse.
And Kit Knight Rider.
There was two movies, right?
Yeah.
Francis, there was a sequel to that, wasn't there?
I believe there might have actually been three.
And Knight Rider is a remake of My Mother the Car.
In a sense.
Was
My Mother Car talked to this guy.
Was Kit David Hasselhoff's mom?
I don't know.
Yeah,
there goes my editorial.
No, what?
We only got 3 minutes. Thanks, Mark.
You can.
Yeah, it's your fault, Mark.
No, next week. But I'm going to tell you who's going to win the Cammy Awards for picture.
Really? Go ahead, yeah. Morris Woodruff.
Yes, who's?
Social Network, because they're setting everybody up and nobody sees it. They want to get a young audience to watch the Cammy Awards. So who are they having hosting? Young people, right? James Franco and Hathaway. So you know Social Network is going to take it all. Best picture.
That doesn't make any sense.
It does make sense.
It doesn't matter who.
They want to get a young audience to watch the Academy Awards.
But the winner is announced during the show. So how would the winner
mark my words?
The people watching the show.
Mark my words.
Having the host be young makes sense, because that makes people watch the show. But you can't say that the ending of a movie is going to have people come in to see.
Hassan, you know I got the point.
They do set those up. Prior, because in the year that they gave Scorsese his Oscar, they also gave him a grandiose tribute, and they knew exactly what was going to happen, because they set the entire situation up so it could be Scorsese's night when the year he won for The Departed. So they do know about this stuff.
It's a game
beforehand.
They design it,
but
yeah, they set it up so it could be a special event. I mean, I don't really mind that, but I'm not convinced that it's all spontaneous.
Right.
Well, I mean, it is a voting process, so people
should
know.
No, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's bogus. It just means that the people who are putting the show together know who the winners are before they are announced.
True. So we got a minute left, Hassan. So since you're on the phone, you get to go first. Do you have a final thought?
Yeah. Sometimes shows just suck. So they get canceled.
Charlie, final thought?
You can't top that one. He's absolutely right. Sometimes you watch a show and you say, hey, that's going to be a hit. And then you watch other shows and say, this is the last time I'm watching it. Think it is.
My final words is that cable TV is on its way out, because Netflix is destroying cable TV.
Wow. And my final thought is just continue watching whatever you like, and hopefully by watching it, it'll actually make it go on and you can enjoy yourself more often than that. So
that about to it came from the radio.
Yeah, thank you. So that about does it for this week. If you miss any part of the show, it'll be up on our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com, in about a week or so. But if you can't wait that long, you can go on to iTunes. You can catch our show there, and also a place like Podcast Planet, if I'm not mistaken. And all the news items that we mentioned today are on our Facebook page, and I guess that will be it. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.